Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. We have seen LeBron James in a Laker uniform for the first time. In full uniform for media day, but then in full practice gear, you got to see him working out with guys. Like, you were in the building today. I'm joined by Pete Zayas, who is somehow still floating.
Dude, we are back, and we finally saw it. And yeah, man, it's like LeBron. Just they were doing competitive shooting drills when they let us in today, and it was funny, man. Just like they were, and they're on the complete other side of the gym mm-hmm. as they're doing this, but they're just talking mad crap to each other. I don't know how much of it showed up on the videos that ended up going, but like they were just arguing over it. Just like you go to the park and there's like competitive dudes, it's like it's 8-7, no, it's 8-6, you know, like it's just like that. It's great.
Yeah, I heard very vividly. Speaking of Vivid, today's show is brought to you by Vivid Seats, but I heard very clearly somebody scream, shut the fuck up. We're back.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. It sounded like Rondo. I would guess that was Rondo that called that back out, but it's, I'm happy that we're back. We are now what, 72 hours from the first Laker game or something like that, or
it's a little more than that. It's going to be on Sunday. So,
oh, it's on Sunday or Saturday. I thought it was Saturday.
On the 30th, whenever that falls.
I thought it was the 29th. Well, all right. I got to rethink my schedule this weekend. today's show, though, we're going to talk a lot about media day, that first practice. I wanted to make sure that we got. I was thinking about having you on yesterday to talk about media day, but I figured there'd be more to talk about with a practice under your belt as well, having been there as well. So it's just going to be a lot about that. And then, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Lonzo Ball being held out of the first official practice, and then now apparently Rajon Rondo is slated to be the starter on opening day, or on opening night, whatever it is. So there's a ton to get to today. As I said earlier, today's show is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. Use the code LOCKEDON to get $20 off your purchase of $200 or more. Again, more on them in a bit. Let's jump into this. You were there for LeBron and media day and the wildness that ensued there. I think there were a few themes that I picked up on, and I'll start with LeBron specifically. He is not here for crappy questions. Like he is, you know, some athletes will be kind of polite about it and still try to humor the person asking the question. But when he gets a question he doesn't like, he makes it very clear, and it also kind of sort. And this is the real bummer here. It kind of sort of affects the rest of the interview, like in that scrum, that interview, that press conference. It affects his attitude for the rest of the thing. Just today, while we're recording this, there was a question about whether Laker fans or what he has to do to earn Lakers fans. What was it, loyalty or something dumb like that?
Respect, that's a big thing from LeBron too.
Yeah.
If you pay attention to him, like respect is a big thing for him.
Yeah.
So when she said that, there was a lot of cringing going on as that question was being asked.
But you asked your first question to LeBron.
I did, man. My voice didn't crack. I held my composure. I was definitely not practicing in the car on the drive down at stoplights to make sure I did not trip all over myself.
Hey, dude, you do what you got to do.
That's right. I don't know, man. It's cool being around him because there are very few people in different walks of life that are like the best at what they do and that are on like just a certain level. And it's a treat to be around somebody like that. I've never had that experience in my life where mm-hmm. I'm around and asking questions of somebody who is quite arguably the very best in the world at what they do. Yeah. How often do you get to ask the questions of somebody who's the very best in the world at anything? Yeah. And in terms of like what you were saying about how he doesn't like certain types of questions and all that, to me, my impression of him is you just got to come correct, right? You got to ask like a thoughtful question. He will give you a thoughtful response if you do that. But he's not here for your nonsense. Like how many of those do you think he's done in his life? Those like media scrums type thing.
That's my thing.
Tens of thousands, right?
That's the thing I keep coming back to is like, all right, random reporter X here. Like he's gone a 15-year career to this point and has very rarely slipped up, very rarely said the wrong thing, and you think you're going to be the one to get LeBron. Like, what are we doing here? Like, the people who are asking these questions about what his priorities are going to be while he's a Laker, I'm just sitting here like, what do you think he's going to say? No, you know what, guys? My focus is Space Jam 2. I was fortunate enough to get Ryan Coogler. I'm really excited about that. I don't give a rat's ass about the Lakers. Lonzo, who? Who's this Kyle? And like, I just, of course he's going to say the right thing. And it's kind of a bummer. But I do notice, though, he lights up when he gets a thoughtful question.
Yeah, and I mean, so many of the questions, try and put yourself in not just LeBron's shoes, but anybody that's receiving these questions. Mm-hmm. So many of the questions are like, how do you feel? Are you excited? Are you like, just listen to the, like, what would you say if you were asked that day after day over and over again? You know, and to me, it's remarkable to me that more often that we don't, as media people, don't get stink eye.
Yeah.
From the, like, they can answer some of these with a straight face. I would not be good at doing what they do because I would be a little too real about it. And I admire their ability to just answer it straight.
Yeah. I get like three annoying tweets and I start blocking people. Like, I just, like, if I get, you know, they get these questions all the time. They get thousands of tweets like that. I can't imagine. I wouldn't handle it very well. I want to come back to the specific question that you asked LeBron and his response to it. But first, I want to talk to you guys about Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more. They offer great prices, and here's the really key one here, is the easy purchasing experience. I use, I'm going to the Rams game tomorrow. Fortunately, I was given tickets to that, but I am planning on going to Laker games in the future, so I was checking out the interface. It's great to use. So go to vividseats.com. and enter the promo code Locked On to receive $20 off your purchase of $200 or more. Or you can go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. That's even easier. And again, enter that promo code $20 or Locked On to receive $20 off of your purchase of $200 or more. All of Vivid Seats are confirmed orders that are backed by a 100% guarantee. So again, go to vividseats.com/app. And enter that promo code Locked On to get $20 off your purchase of $200 or more. Or find them in the App Store or wherever you need to go. Use that promo code. Go to a Laker game. Go to a concert. It's really easy to use. We're going to take another quick second here and come back to talk about the specific question that Pete asked of LeBron. So what did you ask?
I asked him, because this isn't the first time that he's switched teams. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, you know, when you have a new group of guys together, what are the first steps in turning it into a cohesive unit? And I could have phrased that better in a way that would have gotten more of a on the court basketball response, but it's also not the last time I'm going to be able to ask him and go on that. And so he answered, you know, it was more about, again, more of the narrative stuff about dedication and hard work and things like that. But I, as part of it too, is film work is in some ways reactionary, especially when you got a new group of people together. Mm-hmm. So I will be able to be like, and one of the things I'm so excited about with him and Rondo, who we also spoke to today,
picking their brains,
that and that recall, right? Like, yeah. So, you know, with 2:40 left in the third quarter,
yeah,
X, Y, and Z happened, and you started talking to Kuzma. What were you trying to communicate there? Like I get to ask him stuff like that, and him not be like, I don't remember, because he's gonna remember, you know. So I'm super fired up about that. But also, you got so many people at the facility right now that as days go on at training camp, you'll have, you know, more and more opportunity to ask questions. LeBron will get to know me better and all that. But it was good to get the first one off without making a total jackass of myself.
I know nothing about making a jackass of myself. No idea what that would be like. All right, let's segue over then to the Lonzo and Rondo dynamic here. Lonzo Ball did not participate. He was held out of the morning practice so that he can go tonight. By the time you guys are listening to this, last night, he'll participate in the, and it sounds like kind of more of a walkthrough, and then they'll do some sprints and stuff like that. So they want to see how his knee holds up overnight after that kind of exercise. How have you taken this in? Like this idea of, all right, so he's fully cleared. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Well, actually he's not fully cleared. He's not ready to go for this. He's not going to practice at all. Their first practice. He'll be good to go tonight, and then we'll see how it's going tomorrow. Like, how are you handling the way that this information has been divulged?
I'm just annoyed by the whole thing, and I don't even know if there's anybody to blame about it. We talked about this the other day, where like I have no medical background, so I can't accurately criticize or critique in a thoughtful way. I just want to see the dude back. I thought he was going to be back by now. I understand the team not wanting to have him in 2-a-days at this front end, right? That makes total sense to me. And as far as Rondo starting and whatnot, like Lonzo hasn't played a basketball game in months. Of course, Rondo is a starter to begin with. Somebody asked Luke today, I think it was Tanya, asked, hey, does that mean that Rondo's the starter? And he said, well, Rondo's the starter tomorrow, and this is the thing about this whole conversation about who's going to start. This is a running gag amongst the media folks too. You will ask Luke at 5:45 at his availability for a game that starts at 7:30. So who are your starters?
Right.
And that dude won't tell you at 5:45.
Yeah.
So is he telling us who the starting point guard is going to be at the first day of training camp
for the season?
No, he's not. Lonzo is hurt. Rondo is healthy. Rondo is the starter right now.
Yeah, that's how I've been taking it. The only things I've been frustrated about has been this timeline, right? How it seems to, again, just as it was last year, kind of get pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. That is completely separate of this whole idea of Rondo being the starter right now. That's just there. I'm willing to go on the record right now and say there is a 0% chance that that is the case right now. Maybe he's thinking about it, but he's also probably thinking about a whole ton of other lineups, right? He mentioned Rajon Rondo and Lonzo Ball playing in the same backcourt sometimes, right? That they aren't going to be the starters there, you know? And so I just think the purpose of this training camp, given how much turnover we've seen on this roster, is going to be to figure some of these things out. And seeing as Lonzo isn't healthy right now and he isn't available, of course Rondo is going to be the point guard right now.
Right.
Like it's just – that's how depth chart works.
Like just – we need to get this out of our heads, right? Like Luke Walton is not going to give us squat on – he will tell us LeBron James is a starter, and that is the extent of what he's going to tell us. Now, the first preseason game, we will get some ideas of what the rest of it will look like, right? Because we've talked about the battles at center, battles at the shooting guard spot, all that. That'll be interesting because those guys are healthy and ready to go. But in terms of who's – and even last year, remember, Randall started at the beginning of preseason, then got pulled from the starting lineup about halfway through.
Yep.
And then he started the season on the bench. So – yeah, I mean, it's much ado about nothing right now with Lonzo. Like, once he gets healthy and on the court, that's when the conversation starts.
I think Walton has a ton of Phil Jackson, like, wink, wink with the media to him.
Sure.
Like, I think he enjoys it. Like, I would too. Like, you know, I don't think there's too much that you can enjoy about dealing with the media on a day-to-day basis. I think it'd be a taxing activity. So if you can find some place to kind of tweak them a little bit and have a little bit of fun here and there, I'd take that opportunity. I can't lie. And I think that's what he does a lot of times.
Yeah, very much so. He's really good with the media. He's a good dude off camera too. He'll chat with us sometimes, you know, and that's his skill set is dealing with people. And this is going to be an interesting team to do that with, not just with the colorful personalities, which is starting to make my eyes roll a little bit, but just like with a veteran team. This is a very different, just from a veteran versus young guys, talking to LeBron and talking to Rondo, it's just a different experience than it is talking to the kids all last year and occasionally Brooke Lopez, you know, it's totally different.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about how different it is and the vibe that's surrounding this team. And we're going to do that here in a second. But let's pay some bills and we'll come back and we'll talk about the vibe as a whole, because you're not alone in mentioning how different it feels in the practice facility right now. So we'll get to that here in a bit. I think I saw roughly five or six, maybe even seven tweets about how different. And then obviously there were quotes about it. So every quote you see, you know, four or five iterations of the same quote. But I'm talking about like five or six different people have mentioned how different the Lakers feel, the feeling around the Lakers is compared to last year and the year before. And obviously over this last 5 year stretch. And I don't think that has, obviously it has a ton to do with LeBron and it has a ton to do with the new expectations that the Lakers are walking into next season with. But I just think like even the guys who have been involved with this rebuild, they're sick of the crap that's gone on over the last, like I would imagine Ivica Zubac is sick of sucking. Ingram probably is really sick of being on bad Lakers teams. And I just think the entire vibe around the Lakers, like the idea that a lot of people are noticing that, I think it has a lot to do with things that are even beyond the obvious.
Yeah, very much so. And there's a pecking order now. Like, Anthony, who was the Lakers leader last year?
Man.
The fact that you can't answer that in 5 seconds, because I couldn't either, tells you all you need to know, right?
Who would it be?
Like, that's like, one of those things.
Now I'm interested. Who would it be?
Who's the leader or the leaders of this team?
Well, it's LeBron, obviously.
Right.
Well,
right. Yeah. Exactly. So don't undersell that, in that the ability to answer that and understand the pecking order. And Rondo is in that too.
Yeah.
Having that, having them, even something like how to deal with the media. And I noticed, and I don't know if you did as well, but I noticed a big difference in how Lonzo and Brandon dealt with the media yesterday. Mm-hmm. And even KCP, I was like, who's this dude? Like, he was painfully awkward last year.
Yeah.
And he was cool yesterday, you know? And so just like having that leader, that pecking order, to me, that makes – it means so much. And I just go back to the couple of times I've been around LeBron now. Maybe this is me like inputting my prejudices and whatnot into this, but just being around him, he's a different dude. Mm-hmm. He's just different than most people. And not just because he's a great basketball player, but because of his innate traits and his life experience, which is incomparable to just about everybody else on the planet, except for maybe a Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan type of guy. He's different. And obviously when you talk, that's LeBron friggin' James and you're listening. And Luke brought up a great story today about they were working on defensive closeout drills. And they have a rule about when you close out with your outside hand, meaning the one that's closest to the baseline. Mm-hmm. And so he was having them do it with both with the same hand on both sides, and immediately LeBron was like, "Are you sure we shouldn't be doing this with our left hand on the left side of the court, right hand on the right hand side of the court?" And just like that attention to detail of things like that. Now Luke did want to continue doing it with the same hand on both sides, but that was LeBron's immediate reaction, like, "No, this isn't how you'd said that our closeouts are supposed to work. You know, why are we doing it this way?" And I'm not trying to color it as there being like a disagreement.
LeBron James hates Luke Walton.
Right.
My column.
But just that attention to detail. Last year, does a 20-year-old Brandon Ingram or Lonzo Ball or 22-year-old Kuzma, do they even notice stuff like that?
Yeah.
Before a drill starts and bring that up. So just things like that, man. Just, yeah, definitely a different vibe.
I also think there's something to be gained. Now, this has been the case for a long time with LeBron, but he knows he's the best right now, right? Like he knows he's the best player in the NBA, and he is in the absolute elite greatest of all time, right? Like he's in that conversation. And I think I've always felt one of the most overrated characteristics that people look for in athletes is humility. Like, get out of here with this stuff. Like, none of these guys are humble. They're not going to be. And I think like for somebody like Ingram, and you mentioned the way that they handled the media yesterday, for somebody like Ingram, who you and I just repeatedly said, just push yourself a little further, jump from a little further out, you know, extend yourself a little bit more on defense. You can actually do this kind of stuff, right? And that being around LeBron and being around his understanding that he is the best doing this right now and one of the greatest ever, and holding himself that way, not just in terms of accountability, but in terms of just the way that he walks around, that kind of thing is going to really help somebody like Ingram, who is looking for that kind of confidence, who needs that kind of confidence. And the way that it already manifested itself yesterday was really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's a great point. And being around that and him being a living example of that is just you can't duplicate that in you can't just have that for any team. Now, to me, what I hope for from great people, whether it's in basketball or otherwise, is I'm not expecting them to be humble at all. I don't think that's a good thing even. Don't be disrespectful of people. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people want athletes to be humble to bring them down a little bit, right?
Yeah, they want to be more relatable.
More relatable, more unnecessary self-deprecation. And what is self-deprecation in the first place, right? Now we bust on each other and we'll crack on ourselves and whatnot. But that, like, I have the capability to be great and I'm going to chase the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me, that's a driving – that again, I bring up Kobe and things like this. Like, Kobe being really influential in, for me as a person, and seeing that even from afar, like, that underlies what I do with LFR and all of the coverage that I do. So them having a guy that doesn't have to be falsely humble but is like – it's okay to be great. Be great. Chase it. I'm an example of how to do it. I mean, you just can't replace that.
I completely agree. Was there anything else that kind of stuck out to you over the last couple days? We heard a ton from and about Kuzma. That was one of the things that really stuck out to me over the course of the offseason.
Yeah.
Was how much buzz is surrounding this guy. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, personally, I can only speak about how I feel about Kuzma right now. Like, I just don't want to see that Cinderella slipper fall off and then him go back to, like, what maybe most mid-draft picks become, right? Late first-rounders become. But it certainly, if you listen to the buzz around him, it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
No, I mean, he's the dude that all of the new vets and stuff, like, he's the first guy that they always reference.
Yeah.
And it's not – I mean, he's a talented guy and he's hungry. He's crazy hungry and he wants to be great. He wants to, you know, be on that Mount Rushmore type thing. It doesn't matter if he's capable of getting there or not, right? Like, that's not the point. The shoot for the stars, land on the moon type of thing is him. I'm not worried about him at all. He's the closest. He's been from day one – wise and mature way beyond his years in a way that just isn't comparable with the other young guys. Like, he's older than the other young guys, but he's also special in that respect, even for his age. He's what, just 23?
Yeah.
And that's crazy, man. And so just hear, listen to how the new vets talk about him. Like, he's that dude. And that's why I was arguing the other day with you and Anthony, or with you and Harrison. Mm-hmm. Like, this dude's going to start. I don't know where, but, like, I think he's going to start.
Yeah, I think it's turning into a situation where they're gonna go out of their way, and we saw it last year when they moved him up to the three, where they were just trying to find ways to get him on the court more, and when you consider the kind of guys that are going to be in the starting lineup, I think that's the kind of player, those are the kind of guys that you want Kuzma there on the court with anyway, especially if we start getting into a situation where Lonzo is maybe not starting, Rondo starts. Like, I think then you maybe start to really think about, okay, well, can you get somebody who can do with a little bit more creative chops to go into the back, into the second unit? Maybe you swap out Ingram for Kuzma so that you have a little bit more creativity with the second unit. And look, all this – you're talking about starting. It's a five-minute thing. I don't really care so much, and this was one of the points that I made on Twitter earlier today, was that I don't really care who starts – I don't even care necessarily who finishes, because that's going to change from game to game. It's about the on-court combinations that you're going to see over the course of a game and which guys seem to make the most sense next to each other. But yeah, Kuzma, the buzz around him, I haven't quite seen hype around somebody the way that we've seen it with him. And there's a lot of people saying, oh, well, you know, he was a flawed player last year, defensively especially, blah, 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 blah. More than just having the skill set to potentially figure it out on that end of the court, he really seems to want to. And that's one of the things that you've heard from everybody about him, is that he really seems to want to figure it out. And he's surrounded by guys who can help him do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, his fit with just on the court and off is just, you know, I'm so excited for his season.
Yeah, I completely agree. Anything else before we wrap up here?
No, man, excited to get back to it tomorrow. Like, this is, there was two back-to-back first days, right? There's the first media day, first day of training camp. Now we're in it. And this is my favorite part, right? Some of the media folks are going to start to peel off. There are going to be less people there, and, you know, which means more questions for the rest of us.
Yeah, maybe fewer dumb questions.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll maybe. See. So yeah, man, like, I'm looking forward to it being a part of my daily routine and a part of all ours. And then Sunday, man, we start with the games, and then it's on and cracking.
Ah, oh, man, let's do it. I can't freaking wait. Let's do it. All right.
Yep.
That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Today's show is again brought to you by, in part, by VividSeats.com. Go to VividSeats.com/app. Enter that promo code Locked On to get $20 off your purchase of $200 or more. We'll be back at it again tomorrow with probably another Lonzo Ball update. I would imagine that's going to be a daily occurrence. So that's going to be fun. But we'll figure out a way to make it fun for you guys. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you mañana.